April 8, 1961. This interview is being recorded at the home of Mrs. Georgia Cabot, the P.O. Ranch at Dripping Springs, Texas. Mrs. Cabot, aged 92 years, is the senior resident of this Hill Country County and was born in the house where she now resides with her daughter, Mrs. Marguerite Hammock. Her parents were Dr. and Mrs. J.M. Pam. I am Mrs. Lorraine Hammock, the wife of Charles J. Hammock, grandson of Mrs. Cabot, or Mimi, as we all call her. Where did your parents come to Texas, and where had they previously lived?
In 1853.
Where had they previously lived?
My mother had lived in Jackson, Mississippi, and father in Illinois.
What mode of transportation did they use to come to Texas?
Well, I don't... came with their slaves. They brought... They had what they called ambulances at the time, which later were called hacks. I don't know.
Slaves drive the hacks?
Yes, the slaves cared for they had horses and mules. Mother's sister, Mrs. Moss, the wife of John Lee Moss, a nephew of Robert E. Lee, also came. They had their slaves and wagons with their supplies. They brought furniture and some household supplies with them.
How many families lived in this area at that time, Mimi?
There were no families living here at that time. After locating here, my father thought that he liked the lands at Henley, 10 miles west of Dripping Springs, better for farming. And he, after graduating from medical school, the president of the college suggested that he go south, and as he was threatened with tuberculosis. But when they had stayed at Henley a while, the Indians came through, and there was no family living nearer than 10 miles. So one night, after dark, they became very much frightened and decided to come to Dripping Springs, and my mother rode behind the father on horseback. Then they decided they'd come to Dripping Springs to live and settle at this place.
Were you ever raided by Indians here?
Yes, people were never bothered by Indians, except they'd come through and take the horses and cattle. But no person was ever bothered in this country. There was really one person killed, a Mr. Moore, who lived about 7 or 8 miles west of us. He went out before daylight to look for his horses, and he was killed by the Indians.
Was Grandfather Pound ever bothered by Indians in his making calls on his patients?
Never. They had profound respect for a medicine man, and they seemed to understand that he was a medicine man.
Did he once stay with Indians?
He never did, no.
Was slave labor used in building this house?
Slave labor was used. The slaves of my uncle, our neighbor, and our own built.
What portion of the house did they build?
Only the remaining portion, which is a log room and very good state of preservation.
The log room has quite a history. Tell us about the Methodist circuit riders and the worship services held in this room.
As the years went by, more settlers came in, and they thought it would be better to try to have the service. So a Methodist circuit rider was obtained. He came once a month. And this log room we have at the present time was used as where the priest. They brought the entire family. The children were all put to bed, and the others worshiped.
Directly after finishing medical school, your father traveled through the West for his health. Tell us some of his experiences at this time.
There were many camps of soldiers at that time, and he was welcome and frequently stopped over with them for a few days. One day he determined to go on to Fort Bridger, which is a good many miles away. I was riding a little gray Indian pony who can gallop tirelessly all day. But ever so often the snow would get so heavily packed on their feet, he'd have to get down and break this off, or they'd stumble. And in order to do this, he, being followed by a pack of wolves, he would have to shoot one, and then they were very eager for food, so while they were consuming that, it'd be safe for him to dismount. And as the day wore on, these wolves who were first started out with him became tired, and others joined the chase. And that way they followed him all day. Just as the sun went down, he arrived at Fort Bridger. Having been there, knowing Jim Bridger very well, he was not at home. He put his horse up, went in, and his Indian wife wouldn't speak to him as her husband was not present. And later on, when Jim Bridger returned, father sat one side of the fireplace and she the other in complete silence until Jim Bridger came in. Then she bustled around and prepared a proper meal for them. Indian wife prepared a very meager supper for people who had been out in the weather all day, but was thoroughly enjoyed by the husband and father. He provided a bed for him of buffalo robes, which were very comfortable. The next morning, and the breakfast was still very meager. They had tea that was made from herbs gathered. The Indians knew what would make a good drink. And later, father found out that they had used about all of the provision they had. When the war broke out with Mexico, father left without consulting Grandfather Pound, medical school, went down to Brownsville and enlisted under General Taylor. They marched across to Mexico and there had several battles with the Mexicans. On the night of February the 23rd, 1846, father was stationed at his company on top of the cathedral. It was extremely cold, and the next morning he saw Santa Ana leaving and they saw could see the reflection of their lancers attached to their guns. They had fought this battle the night before, or the day before, and at Saltillo, and Sadiana saw that he was outnumbered in every way and retreated. General Taylor had a line of 3 miles long with, as a barricade, he had thrown up rocks about 3 or 4 feet high. In 1910, I went with my father down to Monterey to visit a friend, Dr. Steele, and family, and we went out to this old battleground. On the next day after the Battle of Saltillo, the Americans went out and gathered up their dead and gave them a proper burial. My father said a month afterward he visited the same ground, and the Mexicans had so little respect for their dead that they had half buried them and maybe be arm and leg out of the ground, and they'd occasionally find an American that whose body had been mutilated by the wolves, but not a Mexican was bothered because they had eaten too much chili pepper. While in Mexico, my father had already acquired the bad habit of smoking cigarettes made with paper, but found that the Mexicans had something better. They used shucks, so he changed over to shucks.
What was your father's role in the Civil War?
The father was a surgeon in the Mexican War.
Civil War.
He was in the service at Austin, and there they had many meetings, of course, and Father, having had military service at East, he had learned military tactics in a way. He had gathered up the men and boys around Ripping Springs and at Walnut Spring, about 2 miles south of us, they used for practice ground. Our father had always kept good horses, as it was quite necessary for him. He had a horse named and he would take this horse and go down to Warren Spring and drill the men. And we have at the present time a small flag of red, white, and blue made by a lady friend that they would put in Bucephalus bridle when they went down to practice at Walnut Spring. In a meeting at Austin, General Houston did not want Texas to secede. Father said, with his wearing his usual beaver hat, he stood on the steps of the old Capitol, and with tears running down his face, he begged the crowd not to recede.
How long did your parents live, Mimi?
Father was stationed first in Arkansas, and he had a terrible time. They couldn't get medicine or anything hardly. And he said, at one time, where they were camped, ordered them to be camped. Why? When they got up, then the water was all under the sick soldiers. It was a terrible mess. And I knew a man. Years afterward, I heard him talk to Father at one of these big reunions, Bill Cloud. He, an episode of the Civil War. My father was stationed at first in Arkansas, and of course he knew personally many of the soldiers who had gone from this part of the country. During this time, the campsites were not very well located. Sometimes the water came rains and the sick soldiers would be lying in water. And one morning, as my father was making his rounds, he came upon a man who lived at Junction City later, named Bill Cloud. He told Bill, he says, Bill, you're going to die, and you'll be dead before I come back tomorrow. And he took off his white shirt and shaved him and put it on him. So Mr. Cloud, Father never told it, but Mr. Cloud told this. He didn't die with the measles, even though his bed was soaked with water. My father, lacking a month, 88 years old, my mother was 83 and a few months old.
How many descendants do you have, Mimi?
I have one daughter whose name is Marguerite Hammer, who has had three children, and of these children, Marjorie Hammer has two, a boy and a girl. Charles Hammer has two boys and a girl, and Mitty Ruth, the younger girl, has three boys.
A few years ago, you'd have said, well, there were just four of us.
Yeah. Well, got sick in the Civil War. So my father, I don't know, this isn't worth recording. Let's don't
record.
Father said he didn't believe he could make it up the hill, but Doc Steele and I went on to the top, left him down in the car. But we walked and went down this line of battle, and went. We didn't think we'd ever get to the end, though. And finally he said, well, also we'll be nearer. But it was, I believe it was this steep, and it was very narrow, and it washed out. And Doc Steele says, well, now I can get down and climb up. He said, tall fella. Why, he said, I'll tell you what to do. I'll get down, and then you slide down and I'll catch your feet. And we'll get over. So that's the way we crossed that ravine that ran with blood.
Think of that.
Went to Germany and finished up his, medical course and came back to St. Marcus. And then when he went away to some other medical school, and when he came back, his father brought him up you know. Oh, he stayed here over a year, maybe two, with Paula practice. And he's like a member of the family, nearly. And why, when Miss Steele brought him up, why, he said, "Why, Jimmy, you act just like an Indian." He jumped fences, and they said he hoofed and yelled, and said, "Well, hurry up, Mrs. Walters, and let's have dinner. I'm just nearly starving to death. I want some Alina's milk." And he says, "Jimmy, I'm going to tell your mother how you behave. I believe you're gladder to get up here." His mother was one of these very precise church members. And she was a Catholic. And Jimmy went down to Laredo first and stayed. And they were engaged 3 years before he could make up his mind to marry a Catholic, or she could make up her mind to join a Methodist church. Finally, she did. But anyway, it was quite a time with Jimmy and she getting married. And then he located then in San Antonio later and was in a clinic. And when he came up to see us once, they did, came up to the reunion, and she, Marjorie had to have those tonsils removed. And he said, "Well, no member of the family called us the family. Anybody else but me." So Marjorie and I went over and stayed. We stayed 2 weeks and had a gorgeous time. And they had four girls, and they all married, but the youngest girl, every night Twin Duck Steele would come home. Why, he'd say, "Have you taken Marjorie to so-and-so?" Just like we did that boy. They'll have to go back to San Antonio to see all these things. Well, and he's dead now. His wife and daughters live in San Antonio. They're always glad to see us if we can come over.
Well, we have this all hot. You're all ready to have some meat.